All right. Welcome in to Toilets, Two Titles, episode number 87. We are about to begin week three of the NFL season and of the fantasy football season, which is pretty incredible. I can't believe we are here. But now things are starting to get real because we actually know what teams are. The first 2 weeks, I kind of feel like there's a lot of junk out there. But now things start to settle in. We're going to start seeing some really good football, which I am very excited about. I'm also very excited because I am joined by my buddy, my co-host, my main man, Justin Stevens at JustinFF_Justin. What is happening?
Hey, not a lot. We've been pretty busy at work. I got a message a little while ago. Actually, Lori, my wife, mentioned to me that there was a big earthquake in Australia. So before we get rolling too much, just want to say shout out to our Australian buddies. I got confirmation that two of them are fine. I'm sure Ben's okay too. It doesn't look like things are too bad, so we're grateful for that. But we have a lot of followers in Australia. So if you guys are listening, just know we're here for you.
Did you see it coming?
I tried to give out the warning after the first one hit. I knew there was going to be an aftershock, so I tried to tweet a message, but I couldn't get to it. The claws, you know, were kind of in the way.
All right, that's a little bit of a joke if you're listening at home and you're not watching on YouTube. Justin is the three-eyed raven this week. That is his name, and his picture, his background picture, is the raven, which is kind of fitting. I didn't do this on purpose, but it's kind of fitting because the Ravens upset the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. So did the three-eyed raven see that coming?
No, as a matter of fact, last week on my what are we going to be saying next week, what I had thought I saw was that the Ravens were going to be toast after this week. Like I just thought that they would just look completely pathetic against the Chiefs, and with that banged up secondary and no running attack, as far as losing their top three running backs within a 12-day period during training camp, like, who would have saw this coming? So not even the three-eyed raven, evidently.
All right, everybody, I want to let everybody know where they can find us. The show is on the Twitter at Toilets to Titles. I am on the Twitter at Coach Sheps. Justin, like I said earlier, is at JustinFF_. Nate, who's going to be joining us in a little bit, is at Nate_Dirt19. Ways you can listen to the show: we're on Apple Podcasts, we are on YouTube, Podbean, Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Toilets to Titles, and a page called When a Family Breaks. We're going to combine them. I keep talking about it, but I'm not taking any action. I should probably take some action and just do it. So I'll probably talk with Sean, who runs the page with me, and Justin and the guys, and figure out how we can swing that together so we don't have two different pages. It would probably be a little easier if we do it that way. We're also on Spotify. However you're listening, I do suggest you subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you're going to find that YouTube channel in our show notes. You can also find it if you search us on Twitter. And every day, we're going live at some point with some form of fantasy content. On Tuesdays at 9 o'clock, we have our weekly show. On Wednesdays, we have Joe Knows recapping the week prior's action. And then Wednesday night after that, we have Dollars to Deuces with Nate and Rich, and that's our gambling show. And then Thursday night, a dash of DFS is me, Dirty Jobs Mike, and our boy Joe Arachi from Two Tickets to Fantasy. Saturday night, we got the Down Under Dynasty. They're talking dynasty implications from the last week's matchup and what they're looking at looking forward. Sunday morning, we got a Cup of Joe recapping Saturday's college football action and then talking about Sunday's NFL action. And then we have the Blitz with Justin, Dirty Jobs, and Alex. And I believe they go live at around 10:30 or 11 for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, where they're answering all. It's your show. Subscribe to the show. Tune in at that time. All start sit questions. Tune in, throw it in the comments, and these guys are going to answer it on air and let you know why they're doing what they're doing. I feel like it's one-on-one. You're not just watching somebody on the television talk about all this stuff. You can actually dictate where the conversation is going to go during the episode, and we wanted to come up with something like that for you. And luckily, we brought Dirty Jobs onto the team this year. He had done that, I think, over the last few seasons, and Justin did it with him last year. Now they're doing it again, and we're bringing it to the people, man. That's your show. So I suggest subscribe to Toilets Titles YouTube, all right? And then also, if you have a podcast, it would be greatly appreciated if you throw us a 5-star review and throw us some cool comments. You can even talk about the three-eyed raven and all the things that he knows. So, Justin, I want to talk about some news this week, man, before we get into everything. The first bit of news is Tyrod Taylor looked great, man. This is probably the best football I've ever seen Tyrod Taylor play. Like, he's played decent before, but he actually looked good this season. Now he's out. Davis Mills is in. He's set to start. So what are your thoughts?
Man, I feel bad for the guy. At the start of the season last year for the Chargers, I kind of thought that he looked really good early on in that season too. And then obviously the injection from hell from that doctor, and the next thing you know, we have Justin Herbert. So yeah, I feel really bad. Just a really bad run of bad luck, and he really helped make that Houston Texans offense look pretty decent, like downright good. Now, granted, they were playing Jacksonville in week one, and I mean, what do you know? But still, I kind of feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, it's almost like the doctor in that scenario was like Jon Snow, and like the Tyrod Taylor was like Khaleesi, and he was queen, and then got, you know, sabotaged so that Bran Stark, Justin Herbert, three-eyed Raven. I just tied it all together. All right. So show's tied up. We can wrap it together. All right. Deontay Johnson seems to have avoided serious knee injury. He's questionable for this week. It's a big deal, but I feel like last year he had an injury early on, and then it kind of slowed down his like progression, you know, as an elite NFL wide receiver, because I think that's where we expect him to go. He's gotten a lot of volume, and now it should slow down for the next few weeks. It should be an uptick for Juju Smith-Schuster, Chase Claypool, but Roethlisberger watch 2021. Ben Roethlisberger, he's got a left pec injury, so is it going to be the Dwayne Haskins show? So, Justin, what are your thoughts on all this Pittsburgh Steelers news?
I mean, it is a left pec injury for Roethlisberger, so I don't know exactly what that means for his ability to throw the ball, but I will say last year against the Bengals, because they played the Bengals this week, last year against the Bengals, Chase Claypool had 6 targets in the red zone. He only had 13 targets in the red zone all season, and 6 of them were against the Bengals in the 2 games he played against them last year. So he was a heavy target for Roethlisberger against the Bengals. Obviously, defenses changed. It's not the same defensive backs. But, I mean, for the most part, pretty much the same system. So so who knows, with Deontay Johnson down, this could be this opportunity for a huge Claypool week.
Yeah, Cincinnati-Pittsburgh was a great game last year. That second one, because that was when Juju was doing the dancing in the middle of the field. And I think this game, I didn't put this as my game of the week, but it was up there, because I think this game is going to be heated. Like, if you want to watch some, like, heavy-hitting football, like, I feel like the temperature should drop about 30 degrees for this game. It should be about 40, 50 degrees out there. That would make it even more interesting. You know, maybe a little bit of, like, some flurries, put it at night. But whatever, that's just my
picture of how. Anytime you mix that division together, you've got the Browns, the Steelers, the Bengals, and then those pesky little two-eyed Ravens going against each other. It's always going to be an amazing game.
It's always going to be an amazing game. All right, Jamichael Hasty, high ankle sprain. He is week to week. The San Francisco 49ers are the West Coast version of the Baltimore Ravens. Their running backs just cannot stay healthy. You know, it's the curse of Harbaugh, even though the other Harbaugh isn't there anymore, but he used to be. So, like, there's something up in that Harbaugh family that's just causing running backs to go down, and the 49ers are guilty by association. So it seems like Elijah Mitchell is going to be okay, you know, and then also Trey Sermon came in, gets concussed on the first play. He touches the ball. He fumbles the football. So I'm thinking that Elijah Mitchell is going to carry the rock. You know, and this might allow him to settle in as the running back, and they might get comfortable with him. So what are your thoughts on the Jamichael Hasty injury news?
Pay close attention. I mean, I think Elijah Mitchell has no choice but to play, and it was just a shoulder injury. But last year, anyway, I played in a few 32-team leagues, and if I were still in a 32-team league, I would definitely be going out and picking up Trenton Cannon, because Trenton Cannon is the only other healthy running back on their roster. So just something to think about if you are in one of those extremely deep leagues.
And that's a great name, the Cannon. You know, it's a top, probably like a top 15 last name in the NFL. So go pick him up. All right, Jarvis Landry to the IR. I didn't even see this. So what happened to him? I know he was out last week. He's to the IR now. What is the injury that he has been given?
I'm almost positive that it's a hamstring, a bad hamstring or groin injury.
Damn, but to I will the IR. IR for a hamstring. That sucks.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure, but I'm going to look it up.
Well, that should be an uptick to Rashard Higgins, right?
Knee injury.
Okay, knee injury. Okay,
yeah, so but he's missed at least three games. So no exact timetable on his return just yet.
So let's see. It should be an uptick to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. They should continue to lean on the running game. Harrison Bryant looked really good last week. He looked like the number one tight end out there in Cleveland. So look for an uptick to him. And then Higgins and Peoples-Jones. Let's see. Maybe Odell comes back. Who the hell knows what Odell's doing? So I don't. Maybe does the three-eyed Raven know what Odell Beckham's doing?
It's going to be Odell's week. He's coming back this week, and he's going to get a solid week one for him.
Okay, so there it is. There you heard it here first, right? Carson Wentz, he has two sprained ankles, not just one. He's got two. Jacob Eason warming up in the bullpen. Is Wentz going to play this week, Justin?
That guy is he's made of glass. If any quarterback is going to come out of a game with two sprained ankles, it's Carson Wentz. I think he plays just based off of what they're saying, what they're talking about. I mean, I think he plays and I think he hobbles out there. But if Jacob Eason is a go, then almost all of your Colts except for Jonathan Taylor are a no-go. Maybe Nyheim Hines on the checkdowns, but Eason is not an NFL quarterback.
Do you think Wentz injured his ankles on the same play?
It's very possible because when I was at my brother-in-law's house watching that game, and whenever the play first happened, I was like, "Oh man, did you see that right ankle? The way it twisted as his foot was coming up off of the ground." And then we watched the replay, and he was like, "No, it was the left ankle, or maybe the other way around, whatever it was." Because when the other guy landed on his left ankle the other way. So like, it very possibly could have been on the same play.
Very bad luck. Very bad luck. All right.
Yeah.
Patreon. Check out our Patreon, everybody. Patreon.com/toilets to titles. We are bringing you tons of content. Tier one is only $3 per month. Get you into the Toilets to Titles team group chat on Discord. That's 24/7 access to all of the members of Toilets to Title for any fantasy football questions you have and the chat. And you also get to see, you know, all the other trade discussions from all the other Patreon members. And us, we're throwing our trades out in there. There's tons of fantasy football interaction on there, and I recommend you get in that. That's $3 per month. Tier two is $5 per month. It gets you into that, get you into Frankenstack next year. It also gets you early access to the waiver wire episodes Justin records every Monday night, right after Monday Night Football. And it's got content from every single person that toilets the titles. We're throwing players out there for Justin. We're putting on a doc. We're putting our why on there. And Justin's reading that all off to you, and he's giving you his immediate analysis on all of that. That's tier two, $5. Tier three, $10 per month. Get you all that. Get you free entry into Frankenstack next year. Get you one-on-one roster analysis as well from anybody at toilets the title. So if you think it's time to make a trade, you're not sure how your roster looks, send it to somebody, get the analysis, and we'll tell you what we think. And also, we're doing a giveaway right now. We got a Laviska Shenault official jersey. We had the next 10 to sign up for any tier of our Patreon get a shot at winning that. And we've had 4 sign up so far, so we have 6 spots left. Get in there. DM us on Twitter at Toilet Settles. We'll get an alert through email when you sign up for Patreon. But then also reach out to us, and we'll let you know when it fills and when we give that jersey away, who it is going to. So that's it for the Patreon. Also, please go. Oh, Justin, go ahead, man.
I was going to say, since we're talking about our supporters, let's read a 5-star review from Apple Podcast.
Okay.
This 5-star review comes from Sam S.
What's up, Sam?
It says, I love what these guys are trying to do with their show. They have evolved into something very special, and I will never miss an episode. Crazy fun, super talented, and informative on all levels.
Appreciate you.
Informative for all levels of NFL and fantasy football information. So thanks, Sam. Appreciate that.
Sam, appreciate you. All right. We appreciate you. That is huge. We love reading stuff like that, man. Makes us feel good because we have been working hard trying to grow this thing, and we have tons of content out. Man, last year at this time, we were barely getting through an episode a week, and now we got like 5 or 6. So it's crazy. Funkle Steve is in the chat. Funkle Steve says, "Hello, kids. What's happening, Funkle Steve?" I saw that picture he posted today on Facebook, him and his buddy in a, I think they're at the prom. And he knows what I'm talking about. If Uncle Steve knows, he posted that it was like his buddy's birthday or something. And it was nice to see Uncle Steve in that nice getup, man. That tuxedo looked very good. Everybody, check out toiletsandtitles.com. On there, you got all of our in-season articles and postseason when it is postseason. But we got the weekly wipe up, which is Mike Jernigan recapping every single game. You got two start sit articles, one from me, one from Alex. You got betting articles, DFS articles, all that stuff. Check out toiletsandtitles.com. Enough of all that. Games of the week. These are the games we're looking forward to watching. We had a little competition. Justin, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about this competition and then let everybody know how we did last week.
All right, so finally I get to explain this this Raven behind me. So with our game of the week, the way that we've decided to play a little extra fun game here is that each week we choose a game of the week. The difference of the game between the winner and the loser, you get so many points for. So like in this case, last week's game results, you chose the Cowboys at Chargers, and the game difference was 3 points. Nate chose the Rams and the Colts. That game difference was also 3 points. I chose the 49ers and the Eagles. That game difference was 6 points. I had the highest difference, so I lose again for the second time. Our season totals, John and Nate at 7. I'm at 11, so I'm in last place on the season total as well. So my punishment is that I get to be named something different on my screen here. Instead of at @JustinFF_ like you would normally see, you get to see Three-Eyed Raven. So that's my name for today, and I don't know the Game of Thrones. I honestly have no idea what the heck this is, and John asked me to roll with it, so I've been playing it off as best I can, so I hope I'm doing good with it.
You're doing great, Brand. Very good. All right, so this week my game of the week is Tampa Bay at Los Angeles Rams. I think the Rams played down a little. Like, I don't think the Colts are a bad team, but I think the Rams played down a little bit. I think they played some sloppy football last week, and I think we're going to get their best effort versus Tampa Bay, which we should see from anybody who plays Tampa Bay. And I do think this is probably the toughest defense Tampa Bay will see up to this point. I know it's only week three, but they got Jalen Ramsey out there. They got Aaron Donald. They're very tough. They're a tough team to play. And they also can score at will with Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and Van Jefferson. So look for a very tough matchup. What bothers Tom Brady is interior pressure. And we know that Rams defense can get pressure to you right down the middle. So if there is a team to beat them early on, it's going to be the Rams. So I look for this to be a very juicy matchup. Justin, what is your game of the week?
Yeah, I love that game of the week. I'm going to go a little bit more in depth with it on my end as well. Something that I'm looking for on Slow Your Roll, because believe it or not, I don't feel the same way about a lot of people in that game. I'm rolling with the Seahawks and the Vikings. I kind of feel bad for the Vikings. If you look at their schedule, they've got a really rough schedule this season, and they kind of had their opportunity to roll out with a couple wins early, but the defense has done just enough to not win the game, and their offense has done just enough in the wrong times to not win the game. They've lost a couple of really close matchups, but this Minnesota Vikings offense looks legit. It looks like the real deal, but for some reason they just can't get over that win column. And this week they play against the Seahawks, and the Seahawks are also a really good team. So I think this is going to be a tough NFC matchup. So I can't wait to see it.
I'm sorry, I was drifting. I'm a bit of a drifter, and I just started to giggle and smile because when we get our thumbnails created, we usually tell Andrew Campy, you know, our main guy, Toast Settles, creator of the website, what players we want out there. And I just pictured Bran Stark, the Three-Eyed Raven. I'm definitely throwing him on the thumbnail. All right. So, look, this is going to be – I think this will be the first time a non-NFL player or college football player is on the thumbnail. So,
it'll also be here. First time that we get in trouble for copyright infringements on YouTube.
Unless
– but we're going to try.
Unless we superimpose your face on his body. Would that bypass – this is some brainstorming session, guys. So this is behind the scenes here.
Yeah, we'll figure it out after the show.
Yeah. All right. And Nate's game of the week is Chargers at Chiefs. I can talk on this because this was the one I was going to select. This is going to be a phenomenal game. The Chiefs are kind of on the edge. They could have been beat by the Browns. Like, the Browns had their number, man. They just lost to the Ravens. They could easily be 0-2. And now playing the Chargers are no joke. I think their defense is pretty decent. They played the Cowboys very well. They held Dak to, you know, minimal fantasy points, minimal production. I know the Cowboys were kind of taking what the Chargers were giving them with the two deep safety look. They were running it at will. But I don't know. The Chiefs don't have the firepower on the ground to run it like Dallas did last week. And they're going to have to throw it. And I know that people are going to say, well, they're going to be able to. Yes, they are. But the Chargers are going to be able to move the ball on the Chiefs as well. And it's going to come down to one stop. It's going to be a lot of points in this game. It's going to be very hard fought. This is a division game. And the Chiefs are coming off a loss. So they're either going to rebound or they're going to be a little shook. And I know the Chargers are going to be ready to go. They're young. They're talented. They just had a loss themselves. So somebody coming out of this is going to have two losses. You know, that's tough, you know, coming out of week three. So look for this one to be a very exciting matchup. All right, Nate's locks for the week. Check out Dollars to Deuces Wednesday night. I believe it's at either 9 p.m. Eastern or 10 p.m. Eastern. Go check out our the title's Twitter handle. Our pinned tweet is a graphic that shows when every single show is going to be recorded on our YouTube channel, so you can actually check it out live. I think it's 9 or 10, but you will be alerted if you're watching the show. Hit the bell when you subscribe, and you'll be alerted when we're getting ready to go live, man. So Nate's locks of the week. He has the Cardinals -7.5 at the Jaguars. I think that's a pretty good bet. Trevor Lawrence hasn't looked all that hot. Laviska Shenault is a little banged up. They don't know how to run the football, and the Cardinals are just scoring a lot of points. I like it as well. Chargers +6.5 at the Chiefs. Like I said earlier, that's going to be a close matchup. I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers win this one. Nate's got them +6.5. And finally, the Raiders -3.5 versus the Dolphins. This one's very interesting to me. I know the Dolphins are definitely banged up. You know, they're going to have Jacoby Brissett out there. And the Raiders are rolling. I think Raiders are kind of the sweetheart right now of the NFL. And I know they're the sweetheart of our guy Rich, who is one half of Dollars to Deuces. He probably made this bet for his boy Rich. I definitely get that. I'm surprised it's such a low spread. What are your thoughts on the Raiders-Dolphins game?
Yeah, I like it. I love that offense. I love everything that the Raiders are slowly starting to build. I did not think that I would say that this season when we started the season. Not going to lie. I was a naysayer, but I'm starting to become a believer.
You're a believer, man. Then you saw Derek Carr's face, and now you're a believer.
Yeah, now that he has the beard. We were talking about that on the Fusion chat earlier today, actually. We think it's the beard.
It's giving him some power.
Yep.
Like Samson.
Well, we don't have Fitzpatrick right now, so he's trying to fill in.
Fitzpatrick handed off the mantle.
Yep.
The beard mantle.
Flipped it over from over to the other side of the country for him.
I like it. Somebody's got to do it, right?
Yep.
You know, we can't all be beardless and talentless. Some of us need to have beards and some of us need to have talent. So right. Derek Carr is going for it. All right. Joe Clark says Raiders are looking like sweethearts indeed. Yeah, man. They're the sweethearts of the NFL right now. All right, my dudes and duds. Again, you'll be able to find these on the toiletsatitles.com. They will post Wednesday, probably around noon. So if you can't remember all of these, don't worry. You don't have to listen to the show a second time, even though we would like it if you did. You can go to toiletsatitles.com and you could read all this, all of my notes, word for word. My dudes this week, and I'm hot. If you go back and look at like my last two dudes and duds from the first 2 weeks, and I'm not just cherry picking, taking the easy ones off the tree. I think I'm diving a little bit, and I'm pretty hot. I think I'm on fire. I have a few misses, but I have a few more wins than I do misses. So I'm starting with Justin Herbert at Kansas City. Justin Herbert has looked incredibly accurate over the first 2 weeks, and that Kansas City team has looked incredibly human. Expect a high-scoring game with a lot of passing yards and touchdowns. Matthew Stafford versus Tampa Bay. Week one, Dak went off against the Tampa Bay defense, and I thought it was just week one jitters. Week two, Matt Ryan throws 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. Matthew Stafford will continue the trend of 300-yard passers against the Bucs, so start him up. Running back, Tyson Williams at Detroit. There's a lot of people out there really trying to sell that it's Latavius Murray's backfield, but I am not buying. Every time Tyson touches the ball, it's clear to see that he's the better back and he just has more juice. Week one, he had 9 carries. Week two, he had 13 carries. Look for him to see 15 plus in week three and for the Ravens really to get him rolling. This next one, I feel a little bit like I'm cheating, but it's Saquon Barkley versus Atlanta. Saquon, up until this point, was an every week starter. But with him recovering from that knee injury and the Giants not giving him a full workload, he hasn't been a shoo-in as a starter. Like for the first 2 weeks, it's kind of been questionable. The Giants are due for a win, and Saquon should be ready to have the training wheels taken off. Look for Saquon to have a big day, like his biggest day to this point, but he's going to have a monster performance. I'm starting him in DFS. Someone's in the chat uploading viruses. Don't touch it, but read it. It's pretty funny. This person. Well, no, and it's not funny. The image isn't funny.
I just blocked them.
Thank you very much. Okay. The next one is wide receivers. Amari Cooper versus Philadelphia. I don't think Dallas will be able to run the ball consistently against the Eagles front seven. Amari Cooper was basically locked out of the game plan last week. I expect his number to be called this week. Look for some big numbers in this one. He usually bounces back and forth, big game, small game, big game, small game. So look for that rebound game from Amari Cooper at home Monday night versus Philadelphia. Next, Darnell Mooney versus Cleveland. Mooney had 6 receptions on 8 targets last week, which was an uptick from week 1 where he had 5 receptions on 7 targets. He's trending in the right direction, and I think this will be the week he finally fully breaks out. So look for a monster performance from Mooney versus Cleveland. Finally, my last dude of the week, my last start, Kyle Pitts at the New York Giants. Noah Font and Logan Thomas had decent outings when they faced the Giants this season. Kyle Pitts had 73 yards receiving last week, but has yet to get into the end zone. I'm predicting Pitts doesn't just get his first TD, rather, he gets 2 this week. So his first 2 touchdowns as a pro will come this week at the New York Giants. Justin, did you have anything to say about those dudes? You're muted.
I was going to say that Darnell Mooney almost was my turtle head for today. He's not going to be, but I really like the opportunity that he's getting, and he hasn't quite gotten the touchdowns yet, but he's getting targets like crazy. So it's just a matter of time before he starts breaking some. So great.
That's a great words for a turtle head breaking through. That was my week 1 turtle head. I had an honorable mention under your list. Darnell Mooney was my turtle head for week 1. So I'm looking forward to seeing him produce. Coach has been on the Mooney train from day 1. That's right, Joe. That's right. Rich Gonzalez is in here. What's up, fellas? Rich, we were just talking up the Raiders for you, man. The three-eyed Raven loves him some Raiders. Joe thinks Pitts is going to have 3 touchdowns, and he's a Giants fan. That's soft zone. And Matt's down there saying the Raiders are up, Rich. Rich is floating on cloud 9. His son's killing the high school football game. He got a promotion. You know that gif from, I think it's from Breaking Bad, that heavyset dude laying back on a pile of money? There's a decent amount of people out there who probably know this gif. I'll share it with you later. I just envisioned Rich when he got his promotion as that guy, but instead of piles of money, just piles of Fritos chips.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Just laying back in a pile of Frito chips. That's Rich, man. All right. Let me talk about my duds. These are my sits for the week. Baker Mayfield versus Chicago. The Bears forced Joe Burrow to throw 3 interceptions last week. Burrow is a better passer with more dynamic weapons than Baker. The Browns will try to rely on the run game in this one while trying to squeeze out a victory. Derek Carr versus Miami. Rich came at the wrong time. I'm sorry, Rich. The Bills crushed the Dolphins last week, but that wasn't on the Miami secondary. Josh Allen was held to 179 yards through the air. This will be the toughest challenge Carr and the Raiders passing attack has seen this season, and I believe they will struggle to move the football through the air. The Patriots running backs versus New Orleans. The Saints rushing defense has been pretty tough so far this season. In week 1, they held the Packers to under 50 total yards on the ground. In week 2, they held Christian McCaffrey to 3 yards per carry. The Patriots backfield will have a tough time getting it going this week. Next one, Tampa Bay running backs versus the LA Rams. Neither regular season Lenny or Rondale Jones have taken the reins of the backfield at this point in the season. The Rams will be the toughest front 7 Tampa Bay has faced this season, and I don't think this is a week you can afford to add any Tampa Bay back to your starting lineup. Marquez Callaway at New England Patriots. Callaway blew up in the preseason, like literally. He's gone. So he's sit him. Terry McLaurin at the Buffalo Bills. I'm sitting McLaurin this week because I believe Heinicke will struggle in this one. Tre'Davious White will likely shadow Terry, and the Buffalo front 7 will likely rattle Mr. Heinicke as they did Tua and Jacoby last week. So Terry McLaurin, it was tough for me because he's one of my guys to sit him. But again, I'm not taking the easy ones, man. I think this might be a little bit of a reach, but I can definitely see him get shut down. Finally, my tight end sit, Cole Kmet at Cleveland. Cole Kmet was MIA last week, and I have zero confidence in throwing him into my starting lineup. If you have any other options, start them until he becomes consistent out there in Chicago. So, Justin, I'm passing it over to you, my guy. Tell me about your turtle heads.
All right. So, my turtle head for this week is Jared Cook. I'm going tight end this week because Jared Cook is another one of those guys that I'm looking at positive regression for, kind of like what we were just talking about with Darnell Mooney. With Jared Cook, he only has 8 catches for 84 yards right now with no touchdowns after 2 games. But he does have 13 targets. And while I don't think that only getting almost half of his receptions for targets are not very sustainable, I do think the targets themselves are. They're going to continue to throw the ball a lot in that offense. And so the numbers would suggest that he is due for possible positive regression and also that he's due for a touchdown. And 3 of his next 4 games are against teams that so far early this season have struggled against tight ends to this point.
Man, I hate Jared Cook. Like, I despise Jared Cook. He is like, for some reason, he's just a thorn in the side of the Dallas Cowboys. Like, he just seeing him last week in LA, like, I just cannot get the vision of him toe tapping in the playoffs for the Packers against my Cowboys and getting them. Like, it was, I don't know if you remember the Packers Cowboys game from like 2 or 3 years ago. This was after the Dez no catch. So that already stung, but a year later or 2 years later, they crush us. Aaron Rodgers with like 30 seconds left gets hit from behind, somehow doesn't fumble it, gets sacked. Next play, rolling around, he's on the right sideline, throws it all the way to the left sideline on a rope, and Jared Cook barely in Browns taps his toe. So Jared Cook, I can't stand you. But Justin, he's Justin's turtle head. All right, Justin, do you have any honorable mentions for this week, or are we moving this thing along?
We're going to have to move on because I had a lot of trouble finding that one, to be honest with you.
Yep, Jared Cook. Jared Cook's ready for a breakout. Okay, slow your roll. Again, Rich is going to be upset. Players we aren't yet sold on. My list, my guy is Derek Carr. Slow your roll. He looks incredible right now, but I think he's the flavor of the month. You know, most players play to the back of their card, and if you know what that means, I think he's going to come back down to earth, and this is the week he's going to come back down to earth. I don't think he's matchup proof. That Miami secondary is elite. They are elite. Byron Jones, Xavier Howard, Noah Igbinoghene, and Javon Holland, the safety from Oregon. I think Miami's going to play him tough, and I don't think he's going to finish this week as a quarterback one. I still think he's good, but I don't think he's elite, which everybody is saying. Justin, do you have any thoughts on Derek Carr and the Las Vegas Raiders? I know you don't want to – I can be the guy to get on Rich's bad side, so I don't want to put you in a bad spot here. You know,
no, I'm not in a bad spot at all. I'm going to take Rich's side on this one. Like I said, I'm really starting to fall in favor of him. And here's the thing, like, it's not necessarily because of Carr's overall talent. I still think he makes a lot of bonehead mistakes. He does things that he really shouldn't be doing on the football field. He's going to the wrong guy. He's reading the wrong defense pre-snap. But somehow he's still finding ways to make plays happen, whether it be with his feet moving the pocket or just being down and throwing the ball, and then they get up, and then once they get up, they keep going up. Like, I don't know, it just seems like once he fires, once he clicks, he starts racking in those fantasy points, and at the end of the day, that's all I care about.
And Joe said he's had great games against the Ravens and the Steelers, and that's mighty impressive. But I don't think they're the Ravens and the Steelers of old. I don't think their defenses are – I don't think either of those defenses are top 10. You know, they have – like, you know, the Steelers got Minka. They got TJ Watt. But I don't think they're really elite all around. I don't think the Ravens – I mean, Patrick Queen's a good linebacker, but they don't have an elite linebacker. I don't think – you know, Jason Oway is a good edge rusher, but I don't think they have an elite defensive lineman. Marlon Humphrey's a good corner, but I don't think he's elite. So I think they're good. But I don't think they're as good as they used to be. So I in years past, I would say you're right. But, you know, I think that's part of it. Dude, for reals. Come on. Rich is very upset with me. I'm sorry, Rich. All right. So Nate has Danny Dimes as a player he's not yet sold on. But I need to know his angle. Because is there anybody sold on Danny Dimes?
I mean, the fantasy world. I mean, he's like top 5 fantasy right now.
Yeah, but that's garbage, right? Does anyone think it's legit? Does anyone think that, like, his garbage time and, you know, just ridiculous production, do you think that's sustainable?
Well, yes and no. So I think that's going to happen a lot, for one. Right. And then also with Saquon slowly coming back, that's going to slowly help the offense. I think it is potentially sustainable. I'm on board with the the top 12 Danny Dimes ship that's slowly starting to gain passengers.
Nate, I'm looking at the dock, and it's funny watching Nate. He's like a ghostwriter. So Nate said he looked great last week against the Washington football team. So, and their defense is good. So I get what he's saying. So the Washington football team is good. They haven't really lived up to their expectations, which we have high expectations on the Washington football team. So Nate's saying he looked good, but he doesn't think Washington is the defense. Like what I'm saying about the Ravens and the Steelers, they're not as good as people think they are yet. He thinks it's more on the defense than it was on Danny Dimes. So he wants to see Danny perform at a high level consistently. And, you know, I get what you're saying, Nate. So that's Nate's thought for slow your roll. And Nate stinks. That's what he put in there. Nate just ghost right away. Nate's been busy. He's working. He got called out this evening. So he had to go. That's why he couldn't be here. But Nate, I appreciate you being here ghost writing for me, man. Justin, who is the player you are saying slow your roll, or rather players?
Yeah. So I'm not choosing a player. I'm going to slow my roll on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Rams offenses. I think both of them need to be slowed just a bit for this week's game. You were talking earlier about how to get to Tom Brady is to stuff up the middle and to rush him up the middle and to get to him that way, right? Well, what's another way that you can beat Tom Brady? You keep him off the field, right? What is the best way to beat an amazing offense like the Rams? You keep them off the field. And both of these coaches know the best way to win this game is to keep the other team off the field, the other team's offense off the field. They both have really good, respectable defenses. So where most people are thinking this is going to be a shootout, a blowout, a high-flying, all-offense game, like I hope it is. I really do, because I do have a lot of shares of these offenses. But I just don't see it. I don't buy it for this week. I think I don't think it's going to be a high scoring affair. I think both the defenses at times can be pretty underrated. Obviously, the Bucs have shown that they're still a good defense, but I think the Rams are still better than they've shown. Also, I think part of the reason why, like with the Rams, because obviously as a Colts fan, I watched that game twice now, actually, pretty intently, and so I feel like they do what they need to do. So once they had that lead, they didn't really care to necessarily push the envelope. They just did what they had to do to keep the Colts off the field. That's why the game was as close as it was. It really wasn't that close of a game. They controlled that entire game. And I think you're going to see a whole lot of ball control from both offenses as far as running the game or just, you know, just slowly moving the sticks, trying to keep the clock in their favor, because at the end of the game, the team with the ball at the end is probably going to win, right? This is just, it's probably going to be one of those type of games, and they have to go into it that way. So a whole lot of game management from the coaches and the players on the field. So I'm going to slow my roll just a little bit on both of those offenses.
All right. I like it. All right. Now is time for our final segment of the evening. At this time next week, we'll be saying, I believe at this time next week, we will be saying that Kansas City better shape up. Like I said earlier, Cleveland almost took it to them. That was a game Cleveland could have won. Kansas City just lost to Baltimore, and now they have a tough one against LA. So I'm predicting they actually lose this game. I think Kansas City is going to come out of this week 1-2, and I think a lot of questions are going to be out there about this team, how good they really are. They more than just a gimmick. Like just Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, like is that all they are, or do they have some more identity? Because I don't think they can run the football. I don't think they're that great on defense right now. And I don't think Patrick Mahomes can do it all. Like they got Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. They need more guys to step up. So I'm saying next week at this time, we will be saying Kansas City better shape up. Justin, what do you believe we will be saying next week at this time?
So I have down that the Vikings are going to be the best winless team in football. So after losing to the Bengals in overtime by a field goal in week one, and then the Cardinals by one last week, like I was talking about earlier, hard, like just really close, really difficult losses. They're going up against the Seahawks. I'm predicting that, well, the three-eyed Raven, whatever you want to say, is predicting that the Seahawks are going to win this game. The Vikings are going to be a really good-looking 0-3 team. And then I'm trying to read this what Nate put down here for this time next week. You'll be saying, and I think he might have missed the the point of this one, because he's talking about something that happened this past week. And I don't know if it's because in the show doc, I marked down that Nate stinks. So now he's taking a shot at me. But he said going for it on fourth down is cool, but field goals are fine too. Last week.
Well, he's saying next week we'll be saying that. Like, hey, going for it on fourth down is cool.
But he's describing what they did against the Rams.
Who did?
The Colts. If I keep reading, yeah. So it says last week when the Colts were in the red zone on their first two drives, they came away with 0 points and they lost by 3 points. Points win the game. Best way to lose or to win is to not lose. Which to that, Nate, I got to say, like I said before, I think that the Rams were going to play that game however it needed to be played. I think that they were playing chess the whole time, and had the Colts gotten those field goals, they would have just ran their offense a little bit differently in the second half, and they probably still would have won that game. They had complete control of that game, but I do see what you mean. So I just don't understand how this plays into next week, unless he thinks the Colts are going to do it again.
We're having shots. There's a little tension between Colts fan Justin Stevens and Packers fan Nate Whalen, because there's trouble in paradise. I'm just over here happy that Micah Parsons looked like a dog at defensive end when some people thought he couldn't do it. You know, he went out there, he showed up, he got it done. The Cowboys got to win in a tough way, and now we got to play. I hate Monday night games, though. I hate Sunday night games. I hate Monday night games because the entire world is watching them. And I know that's the only game people are going to be talking about for the next week. So if we look bad, everyone's going to talk about it. I got to mute. I can't listen to the radio. I can't listen to podcasts. I can't read the newspaper. I have to go a week with just pretending last week didn't happen. And I don't want to do that. It's a lot of work. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Absolutely.
Do you ever do that?
Yeah. Yeah. All the time.
All the time. Just pretending things didn't happen. Joe down here is saying no surprise to me about Parsons. I know, Joe. We were on board. Matt's down here saying next week at this time, we will be saying that FF Doormat is undefeated in Frankenstein. So I got my first Frankenstein win this week, and I picked up Calvin Ridley. I could have taken Justin Herbert for Baker Mayfield, but I felt like, you know what? I'll get a quarterback a little later on. Let me strengthen my roster. So I traded Gabe Davis for Calvin Ridley. How'd you do in Frankenstein this week?
2 weeks in a row, I've been favored to win. 2 weeks in a row, I lost late on Monday Night Football. I don't want to talk about Frankenstein, but I have the worst luck in Frankenstein. That same crap happened to me at the start of the season last year. And then, like, once you get two or three losses, it's like, forget about it. Yeah, especially now that you can't trade anymore outside of the forced trades. So I lost Stephon Diggs last week. I'm going to lose Josh Allen this week. So there goes my stack that I was so excited about at the start of the season. And then in return, I think I got Kenny Galladay last week. So, yeah, thanks a lot for that, Josh Crocker. And then Mike Dirty Jobs is giving me Baker Mayfield this week to replace Josh Allen. So, I mean, yeah, a couple of iffy whatever guys, but, man, it sucks. I had such high hopes. I really thought I was – you know what? I said I didn't want to talk about Frankenstein, but you got me going. So I really thought I had a decent shot at the Frankenstein this year, and I let it slip away.
But in 2 weeks, that's how it works in Frankenstein. It's in like 2 weeks, your whole season can be ruined.
Yeah.
That's why we needed 32 teams, or rather 36 teams. Steve said he traded for Darren Waller. And then Matt traded – he started Kylan Hill. Because he was that confident he was going to win and traded him for Christian McCaffrey. So that one, huge win. Huge. That's a glow up right there. All right, everybody. I went ahead and I checked out the Toilets and Titles Twitter handle so I can let you everybody know our YouTube channel schedule in season. So subscribe to our YouTube channel on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Toilets and Titles goes live. Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Joe knows he's going to be recapping last week's games, talking about next week's games. Wednesdays at 10 p.m., we got Dollars to Deuces with Bridge and Nate. That is our betting show. Thursdays at about 7:45 up until kickoff is a dash of DFS. It's me, Dirty Jobs, and Joe Arachi. We're talking about all things DFS. Saturday, 7:30 p.m. is the Down Under Dynasty, so they're putting a Dynasty spin on this fantasy football discussion. Sunday morning at 8 a.m. is Sunday Cup of Joe. I think this week Joe's having Shane Hallam on from Draft Countdown to recap the first quarter of the college football season and talk about some draft prospects. And then Joe's going to continue to talk about this week's NFL matchup. And then the Blitz is Sunday at 10:30 a.m. And again, that's the call-in show where you want to either call in. There's going to be a number down there. Or you could subscribe to our YouTube channel. Go live in there when we go live and throw in all your start sit questions so that we can answer them on air and give you like up to the minute advice. And all right. Oh, Rich Gonzalez is saying he's 2-0 in Frankenstein, man. I can't wait to play him because me and Rich have a little bit of a rivalry right now. So Rich, I'll be seeing you on the Frankenstein court someday soon. And Joe's saying Shane and Cup of Joe this Sunday. So if you want to hear some good college football discussion, then you definitely want to subscribe to the channel. Tune in to Joe Knows Sunday Cup of Joe, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. You know, Funkle Steve, good work, kids. That's like what I would expect from the Funkle. All right, yep. the fun uncle. He used to be, he was Uncle Steve year one. After going to Canton, I realized he's not just Uncle Steve. He's Funkle Steve. He's the fun uncle. He brings the party. So thanks, Steve, for coming in here. Thanks, Rich. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, everybody who's tuning in. Hopefully, we'll get some more of you in here next week. 9 p.m. Tuesday night. Good luck to all of your NFL teams as long as they're not the Philadelphia Eagles. Good luck to your fantasy football teams as long as they're not playing me. And I hope everybody has a very enjoyable week. And hopefully we see you in some more of our shows as this week goes on. Please check out patreon.com/totestitles. Throw us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And we will see you all later on.